In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Hey fam, it is Phoenix with the Wine Cellar. I am here to record a little bit of international news and whatnot. I know that's something that we said we were going to start doing on the podcast, because I know our stuff is very, typically very American-centric, and it's sometimes hard just based on our fucking news media, the corporate-owned shit, to find international news. So there's a lot of things happening around the world that Americans just don't know about. So, one of my goals is to, bring forth a little bit of international news. So I'm going to record that. And actually, this is a do-over. Woohoo! I recorded over Easter weekend. However, there was issues with my tablet, which is a whole other fucking thing. I just got this fucking thing for Christmas, so I haven't even had it that long. So I got it for Christmas, and it's not functioning, so I tried to use an older tablet that we had, but the audio was just too craptastic, because it's an old tablet, so I am re-recording. Woohoo! Check me out, right? So here we go. Some international news and headlines, and here we are, if I could find the story. This one is from Australia. Yeah, I don't have an Australian accent. I was going to try, but I don't fucking have an Australian accent at all. Any Moda record something for me to play with the accent. Oh, wait, I could do razor blades, right? When you say rise up lights, right? Like rise, like stand up and rise, and then up and lights. It sounds like razor blades in Australian. Yeah, I just thought Australian was a language. Whatever, fucking work with it. So... this story is actually really fucking depressing, because news tends to be that, right? So, a man died outside of a Woolworths, and this is off, what is this? QueenslandTimes.com.au. So, the sister of a man who died outside a Woolworths store and whose body was left in view of shoppers for hours has described her shock at the treatment of her dead brother's body. The man died outside Darwin City Woolworths on Friday, just a week after collapsing inside the very same shopping center. The man's sister said she was left disturbed and confused after his body was left laying under a sheet for 4 hours while the store was open and shoppers continued to enter and exit the store. Appearing on ABC Radio Darwin, the sister, Marie Moncara, claimed the outcome may have been different if the man had been white. Well, yeah, fucking probably. She said the lack of empathy from the staff was disappointing. He said he was feeling dizzy and he just wanted to move into the air conditioning where it was a bit cooler. He was just outside, Moncara said. None of them approached to see if he was in need of assistance. Not one of them thought to ring an ambulance at the time. Dare I say that if it had been a white body laying there, I think there would have been different procedures. I think different procedures would have taken place. It's awful, but it's also a sense of, oh well, it's happened again. I could reel off members of my family who have been treated far worse after death and left for laying for 3 days in a park. That's fucked up. When contacted for comment, Woolworth said, quote, these events were tragic and we wish to express our condolences to the man's family and loved ones. No the fuck you're not sorry. If you were fucking sorry, then you wouldn't have fucking left him outside dying. He fucking died from dehydration. Y'all wouldn't even give this nigga a cup of water. You wouldn't let him sit in the air conditioning for a couple minutes. You're not fucking sorry. Jesus Christ. And then there's also welcometocountry.org. This website also covered it and noted here that the day he died, he had complained repeatedly of dizziness and collapsed. And then just died. And he was from the Tiwi Islands. I'm not sure if I said that right. T-I-W-I. So, yeah, that is, you know, watch whiteness work. Really. Shit. Okay, so we have that. We have, I know, these are like the best fucking segues ever. I'm like, here's bad news in one country. Here's bad news in another country. And maybe bad news in yet another country. This one is in the UK. This is off the Independent. This is sort of like an update about the Shanna Grice case. For folks who are unfamiliar, she was being stalked and harassed by an ex-boyfriend and kept going to police, and police actually fined her for wasting their time. Like, they kind of accused her of, like, filing a false police report. And, of course, because men who are allowed to just behave unchecked and be violent, he ended up killing her. So, here we go with the update. I know, my fucking sinuses, right? So here we go with the update on this. Police officers who find a stalking victim before she was murdered face disciplinary action. Okay. Officers are facing disciplinary action after Shanna Grice, I think it's Shanna, it might be Shanna, but there's only one N. I'm going to say Shanna, was fined for wasting police time before being murdered by her stalker. Two police officers, one of whom has retired, so he has his fucking pension, fuckface, will face gross misconduct proceedings in front of an independent chairman at public hearings on May 10th, according to Sussex Police. Another police officer will face internal misconduct proceedings, which are carried out in private. No further action will be taken with the five other officers who are being investigated by the Independent of Police Conduct, the IOPC. That's such a weird fucking name for, like, a committee or whatever the fuck. Independent of Police Conduct. All right. You think I'm like the board or something? The board of, I don't know, whatever. IOPC. While six other force employees, three officers and three staff have already been handed, quote, management advice and further training. Management advice. That's such a nice way to put, please stop getting people killed. Mm-hmm. The 14 officials were investigated by police. By the police watchdog, after 19-year-old Miss Grice was murdered in Portslade near Brighton in East Sussex in 2016. Michael Lane slit her throat in her bedroom and then tried to burn her body. She had previously reported her ex-boyfriend to officers five times in 6 months, but was fined £90 for wasting police time. Lane was given a life sentence with a minimum term of 25 years in March 2017. The IOPC is understood to be recommending 18 new training measures for the force when it announces the findings of its investigation Wednesday. Every time I see the word investigate now, I just have William in my head and like, white people love investigating shit. Yeah, the fuck they do. Except actual crime and themselves. Lane's trial prompted widespread calls for action to ensure victims are taken seriously by police. He pursued Miss Grice by fitting a tracker to her car, so like a GPS tracker. He stole a house key to sneak into her room while she slept and loitered outside her home. It later emerged 13 other women had reported him to police for stalking. Like, what the fuck? So, I mean, I just, like, there's so many fucking things wrong here. So, first of all, the fact that he's doing this, like, what the hell? He just goes around stalking women. That's fucking weird, all right? But then add in, so he's already been reported, it doesn't even say how many times, it just says 13 other women reported him to police. So, you know, it could have been multiple times, it could have been one time, but at least 13 times from 13 other people, police were informed this guy's a fucking problem. And then this woman says, hey, this man put a fucking GPS on my car without my permission to stalk me. You know, he has a house key, he's breaking into my house. And they're like, this seems like a waste of time. You owe us money. What the fuck? At Lane's sentencing, Mr. Justice Nicholas Green said officers, quote, jumped to conclusions and stereotyped Miss Grice. Stereotyped her as what, a hysterical woman? Like, I don't understand. Like, I honestly don't understand, because it's like, you're saying this nigga got a fucking GPS device, put it on my car without permission, and followed me while I was driving. That is like the epitome of stalkerish behavior. He stole a house key and copied it so he could break into my house while I'm sleeping? Like, that is just, I don't know how you jump to a conclusion or how you don't take that seriously. Like, that's just, I don't, like, I could, it's like, I know it's like ableist, but I'm like, this is insane. But I mean, yeah, like lacking any sort of, you know, connection to reality. In what world does a man putting a GPS device on a woman's car to follow her not constitute a fucking threat and a problem? Like, what the shit? Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Wow. What the fuck? Man, all these fucking names for these orgs and committees and whatnot. Her Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary and Fire Rescue Services, HMICFRS, is due to publish its findings on how stalking and harassment cases are handled by police. The inquiry was ordered in the wake of Miss Grace's murder. Assistant Chief Constable Nick May said, "We deeply regret the tragic death of Shayna Grace in 2016 and are committed to constantly improving our understanding of stalking and our response to it." No the fuck you're not. You don't regret it. If you regret it, if you had it in you to regret it, it wouldn't have fucking happened. She showed up multiple times over several months and said, "He has a key to my house and is coming in my bedroom while I'm sleeping. He put a GPS tracker on my car and is following my car." Anyone who didn't take that seriously is a fucking dick, and they're not at all sorry that he killed her. Because that was the inevitable outcome and they fucking knew it. Like, just fucking be honest about it. His bullshit-ass apology continues. "When we looked at the circumstances leading to Shayna's murder, we felt we may not have done the very best we could." You didn't do anything! It's not doing the best you could. You ain't did shit! You didn't do a goddamn thing! It's always easy to be better than absolutely nothing. It's always better to be, it's totally possible to be better than to have absolutely no actions taken whatsoever. Anything could have been helpful. What the fuck? You know what? Actually, you did do something. You guys fined her and made her pay a fine and feel bad for, quote-unquote, wasting police time. So you know what? Actually, you did worse than nothing. Fuckers. Our then-deputy chief... Oh, this fucking guy is still talking. Our then-deputy chief constable personally visited Shayna's family to apologize. What? Is she still dead, though? Is she still dead? The fuck you apologizing for? You're apologizing for being worse than nothing? Fuck you. ACAB. So the chief apologized to her family for getting their daughter murdered. So there's that, I guess. I mean, yeah, she's dead, but they apologized. "Since then, we've undertaken all their recommendations, thoroughly reviewed all aspects of how we deal with cases of stalking and harassment, and has significantly improved our service to victims." No the fuck you haven't. You have not. You are absolutely not going to do anything different. This is going to happen again and again and again. Because here's the thing, and I, you know, it is something that's like bothers me with this whole idea of like, oh, well, they just need like better training or, you know, more education, blah, blah. No. Because, yeah, you can train someone or you can educate someone, but at the end of the day, if you are the sort of fucking asshole, okay, like, who thinks that a woman, a terrified young woman coming up to you for help, and it's your job to help her, and she says, "This man won't leave me alone. I'm scared of this man. This man has a GPS tracker in my car without my permission, without my knowledge, and was following my car around. He has a key to my house. He comes in my bedroom." And your fucking first thought was either, what, like, she's full of it, she's making it up, she's exaggerating, and then you fucking fine her for coming to you for help. If you are that level of fucking sadistic, malicious, fucking sociopathic asshole, then no amount of fucking training is going to save you, okay? No amount of training is going to save the next fucking stalking victim that comes to you, because you literally had every opportunity over a course of several months to help her and didn't do jack shit because you're an asshole. Fucking training is not gonna help. You can't fucking train empathy into people. You really can't. You really fucking can't. This fucker still is talking. He says, "We're recording the second highest number of reports anywhere in the UK after the Met, and are now advising and supporting more victims than ever. No the fuck you're not. With better awareness and enhanced training, our approach is more robust in keeping people safe and feeling safe. No the fuck it's not. You're not keeping anybody safe. We encourage victims to come forward with the knowledge that our officers and staff are better trained and they will take all reports seriously." Nigga, nobody believe you. No. You cannot be trusted after this. We are absolutely aware of the consequences if our response is not the correct one. Yeah, you're aware now because you got somebody fucking murdered. So we want to ensure victims have confidence in how both police and the CPS will support them. The news comes on the same day that IOPC announced a police call handler from the force was given, quote, management advice. Well, here we fucking go again. After failing to record a woman's reports of escalating violence by her ex-husband, who shot her 8 days later. See what I'm saying? You cannot fucking train empathy. What management advice? What the fuck does that mean? Keep a better paper trail next time so we don't have to have drag you into more meetings? Because whoever let that shit slide did not give a fuck about that woman. You can't fucking train empathy into someone like that. Michelle Savage spoke to Sussex police 3 times before she was murdered alongside her 53-year-old mother, Heather Whitbread, in an execution-style killing at Point Blank Range in St. Leonard's in March last year. She had told officers that former soldier Craig Savage was dangerous and she feared for her life. Oh, okay, so police were gonna what? Like, meh, fuck, just, yes, all cops are bastards, all of them. And I just, you know, well, we're training people, it's gonna be better. No, it's not. You can't make someone care about another person. And the type of person to hear a terrified person, you know, come to you crying, begging for help, saying, I you know, someone's stalking me, I think this person is gonna hurt me, this person is threatening violence, and you turn them away, no amount of fucking training is gonna fix that shit. Man, fuck it. Alright. And since we're already on the fucking depressed, you know, the bad news brigade, that's what actually I should call my show, the bad news brigade, because that's all it fucking is. We are gonna take it to Bangladesh, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm probably saying this woman's name wrong, but I think it's Nusrat Jahan Rafi. Her first name is spelled Nusrat, so I'm gonna say Nusrat, but I'm not sure that that's correct. So she is from Bangladesh. And she was burned to death for reporting sexual harassment. So this is a fucking horrible story. Nusrat Jahan Rafi was doused with kerosene and set on fire at her school in Bangladesh. Less than 2 weeks earlier, she had filed a sexual harassment complaint against her headmaster. Her courage in speaking out against sexual assault and her death 5 days after being set on fire, and everything that happened in between, has gripped Bangladesh and brought attention to the vulnerability of sexual harassment victims in the conservative Asian country. Nusrat, who was 19 years old, was from Feni, a small town about 100 miles south of Dhaka. She was studying at a madrasa, or an Islamic school. On March 27th, she said the headmaster called her into his office and repeatedly touched her in an inappropriate manner. Before things could go any further, she ran out of the office. And then this article goes on to note that many young girls and women in Bangladesh choose to keep secret about their experiences of sexual harassment or abuse for fear of being shamed by society or their families. What made Nusrat Jahan different is that she didn't just speak out, she went to police with the help of her family on the day the alleged abuse happened. At the local police station, she gave a statement. Sorry. I'm sorry, I'm all coughing into the mic and shit. So at the local police station, she gave him a statement. She should have been provided with a safe environment to recall her traumatic experiences. Instead, she was filmed by the officer in charge on his phone as she described the ordeal. Yeah, he probably went to go masturbate to that later because he's a fucking misogynist. In the video, Nusrat is visibly distressed and tries to hide her face with her hands. The policeman is heard telling her, that the complaint was, quote, no big deal, and telling her to move her hands from her face. The video was later leaked to local media. Nusrat was from a small town and came from a conservative family and went to a religious school. For a girl in her position, reporting sexual assault can come with consequences. Yeah, someone fucking killed her. I think that there was a consequence. What the fuck? That's a tacky-ass sentence to have in this article. Victims often face judgment from their communities, harassment in person and online, and in some cases, violent attacks. Nusrat went on to experience all of these. On March 27th, after she went to the police, they arrested the headmaster, but then things got worse for Nusrat. A group of people gathered in the streets demanding his release. The protest had been arranged by 2 male students and local politicians. So basically, male students who probably have the same behavior towards towards their female classmates. Okay. Mm-hmm. People began to blame Nusrat. Her family said they started to worry about her safety. Nevertheless, on April 6, 11 days after the alleged sexual assault, Nusrat went to her school to sit for final exams. And then this is Nusrat's brother. I'm also gonna totally nail this name. Mahmudul Hassan Noman. He said, I tried to take my sister to school and enter the premises, but I was stopped and wasn't allowed to enter. If I hadn't been stopped, something like this would not have happened to my sister, he said. According to the statement given by Nusrat, a fellow female student took her to the roof of the school, claiming that one of Nusrat's friends was being beaten up. When Nusrat reached the rooftop, four or five people wearing burqas surrounded her and allegedly pressured her to withdraw the case against the headmaster. When she refused, they doused her in kerosene and set her on fire. Police Bureau of Investigation Chief Banaj Kumar Majumdar said the killers wanted to make it look like a suicide. Which is also like, who the fuck commits suicide by setting themselves on fire? Like, maybe if you're making like a political activist statement, but that is like a shitty way to die. People don't just fucking set themselves on fire. Police Bureau of Investigation. Oh yeah, so make it look like their plan failed when Nusrat was rescued after they fled the scene. She was able to give a statement before she died. Mr. Majumdar told BBC Bengali, one of the killers was holding her head down with his hands, so the kerosene wasn't poured there. That's why her head wasn't burned. Oof. But when Nusrat was taken to a local hospital, doctors found burns covering 80% of her body. Unable to treat the burns, they sent her to Dhaka Medical College Hospital. In the ambulance, fearing she might not survive, she recorded a statement on her brother's mobile phone. The teacher touched me. I will fight this crime until my last breath, she says in the video. She also identified some of the attackers as students of the madrasa. News of Nusrat's health dominated Bangladeshi media, and on April 10th, she died. Thousands of people turned out for her funeral in Feni. Police have since arrested 15 people, seven of them allegedly involved in the murder. Among those arrested are the... Never fucking fails. Among those arrested are the two male students who organized the protest in support of the headmaster. Mm-hmm. The headmaster himself remains in custody. The policeman who filmed Nusrat's sexual harassment complaint has been removed from his post and transferred to another department, where he is going to continue being an apathetic douche nozzle. That was not in the article. I added that last part on. Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina met Nusrat's family in Dhaka and promised every person involved in the killing would be brought to justice. None of these culprits will be spared from legal action, she said. Nusrat's death has sparked protests, and thousands have used social media to express their anger about both her case and the treatment of sexual assault victims in Bangladesh. Many girls don't protest out of fear after such incidents. Burqas and even dresses made out of iron cannot stop rapists, said Anwar Sheikh on BBC Bengali's Facebook page. Another individual named Lopa Hussein wrote, I wanted a daughter my whole life, but now I'm afraid. Giving birth to a daughter in this country means a life of fear and worry. According to women's rights group Bangladesh Mahila Parshad, totally nailing these names, y'all, there were 940 incidences of rape in Bangladesh in 2018, but researchers say the real number is likely to be much higher. When a woman tries to get justice for sexual harassment, she has to face a lot of harassment again. The case lingers for years, and there is shaming in society and a lack of willingness from police to properly investigate allegations, said Salma Ali, a human rights lawyer and former director of the Women Lawyers Association. So, whew, all right. Well, that's going on. I know, right? Like, great, fantastic, fun, totally not fun news. Totally not fun. But, you know, these are the things that I think are important. I think these are things that need to be discussed. You know. So that is why I do this. Whew. I know. All right. So that is all I have for international news for now. I think I've depressed everybody enough for the day. Ugh, yikes. But anyway, so yeah, that is that. If you like what we do, of course, you can always hit us up on paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam, or you can hit us up on patreon.com/winecellarmediafund. Also, you know, check me out on Twitter @uppityniggers, 2 P's, 2 T's, 2 S's. And please be as safe as possible wherever you are, right? Like, there's a lot of horrific things happening all over the world. So try to be safe and hold on to someone you love, okay? All right, I'm out of here. I'm gonna catch y'all later.
All right, gang. So what you are about to hear is going to be some news coverage audio from 2017 about, LGBT homeless youth in Sacramento, California. And then it will be followed up with some 2019 audio coverage. I think it's a CBSN news outlet. Excuse me. And covered by the Sacramento Bee newspaper as well. And that's going to be talking about an update on some activist folks and whatnot out there trying to get funding for an LGBT-centered youth homeless shelter. All right, and today is the 23rd as I get this audio up, and the vote is coming on the 25th. All right, on Thursday, there is a city council vote, so we'll have another update coming up. All right, let's go.
Way is taking a toll on an overlooked segment of the population. Homeless teenagers, and more specifically, homeless LGBTQ teenagers. Many of them say that they've come out of the closet only to end up on the street.
CBS 13's Lamore Abrams is in Sacramento's Lavender District for us tonight, where many are seeking refuge.
Sacramento's hip Lavender District mirrors the rest of the nation, where studies show 40% of homeless youth identify as LGBTQ. But here, thousands of them are now pouring into shelters seeking relief from this unrelenting heat. As the scorching August sun sizzles Sacramento, Midtown's LGBT Center is cranking up the AC and hydration. Carlos Buchanan is drinking his first cup of clean water all day.
It's very hard to find clean sources of water because we can't just drink straight from the river because that makes almost everybody sick.
He's referring to the thousands of homeless youth he shares the streets with.
Homelessness doesn't discriminate against age.
David Heitzteman, the LGBT Center's executive director, has seen a 30% spike in youth looking for relief.
They didn't come here on buses or were somehow dropped in all at once. They're from our neighborhoods. They are our neighbors.
And he says they're part of a growing number of LGBT teens revealing their sexuality, only to be rejected from their families and kicked onto the streets.
We're dealing with a youth homelessness epidemic.
Kay Temple Kirk is an advocate at the Sacramento Gender Health Center.
Parents in our country oftentimes are supported by their communities when they excommunicate or reject their children for coming out as LGBTQ.
She says parents can make a difference, but for those who don't have the support at home, they're finding it in the community.
Thank God for the people who work here who have it in their heart to help us.
The LGBT Center is seeking donations to help accommodate the growing number of youth seeking relief. For information, visit our website, cbs13.com.
All right, Lamore, thanks so much. Our heat coverage continues, along with the dangers that can come with the heat, in just a few minutes. But if you'd like to keep an eye on the local temperatures, you can download our CBS 13 weather app or head to CBS 13.
I don't know, man. That doesn't seem woke. And I'm woke as hell.
Sacramento is planning to open its first homeless shelter for LGBTQ youth in Midtown. The city-run shelter proposed by Councilman Jay Shaneer back in March, as well as some other homeless shelters as well. So experts there say that more than 100 LGBTQ homeless live in Sacramento County alone. And the Sacramento LGBT Community Center has been a driving force behind creating this shelter. Joining us now live in the studio, Pixie Pearl. Pixie, you are the Assistant Director of Housing at the Sacramento LGBTQ Community Center.
Correct.
All right, so thank you for being here. So let's get right to it. The focus here is obviously on LGBTQ youth, and the focus is that their needs are different, perhaps, than maybe somebody else. Give me an idea of what the differences are.
Well, I think that there's an unfortunate disparity that there's 40% of youth experiencing homelessness are LGBTQ identified, mm-hmm. and that, you know, the number one reason for that, those experiencing homelessness that are LGBT are family rejection because of identity and being kicked out for that reason. Mm-hmm. But then we also see, like, the intersections of, you know, being a person of color and trans and things like that, and so there's no place that's really accepting or affirming to all of those needs.
Okay, and forgive me, I'm going to read this so that
Absolutely.
I don't get it incorrect. This is aimed at transitional aged youth 18 to 24. So that being said, that doesn't necessarily mean that somebody who does not identify as being LGBTQ, that those people will be turned away.
Correct. Yeah. So it's geared towards LGBT youth, but it's a low barrier because we understand that a lot of programs right now, you might have to be sober, you can't have pets, things like that. And we really want to be able to address that there are needs that youth are having to be safe outside. And so we're open to everyone with that gear and focus towards LGBTQ population.
And certainly you're here to talk about this proposed homeless shelter, but sort of on a personal note, you have experienced what it is like to not have a home. Correct. Here locally. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you that now has given you the force to push for this?
I've experienced homelessness 3 times in my life. One as an 18-year-old in college because I was queer. My roommate, decided to take not positive action. There was no support around that. So this is something that I would really have wanted when I was 18, didn't know, didn't have anywhere to go. And then here in Sacramento, it really was about there was no affordable housing. I had a dog and my house got black mold and there was no supports around the rent being able to move. And so I really think being able to access case management, somebody that's there to support you, being able to navigate what are my options, what are my rights,
right,
is really important.
Obviously dealing with something that's very personal, but also the stress and the anxiety that comes along with that. So somebody staying here is not just going to get a bed and food and what you'd expect to have at most homeless shelters, but they're going to get a reduction. At the focus here is in the stress and anxiety of what they're going through on a personal level, far beyond not having a proper place to sleep at night. That's what it seems like.
Yes, exactly. We're actually going to be doing a mentorship program that we understand that there's going to be clinical things because trauma happens when you're experiencing homelessness. So we'll have case management. We'll also have a housing navigator. But we're also going to have mentorship that, like, folks in the community can address what's going on. And you can have that human level of, like, this person can follow me outside of this program. And it's not just about this moment.
Right. And we're talking here about transportation, food, clothing. And we're talking about the people that come to stay here, these young people, will be able to stay for a 90-day period.
Correct.
None of that is cheap. Let's talk about funding and where the money is going to come from for this.
Absolutely. So our main funding is coming from the Cal OES, so the Operation of Emergency Services through California, and also through the City of Sacramento, and being able to use the Homeless Assistance Emergency Assistance Program, mm-hmm, and with that match fund. And so the Council Member Hansen, and then also the mayor is also like helping
with
that.
Daryl Steinberg with a significant amount of money
as well.
All right. So April the 25th will be city council vote. Mm-hmm. So hopefully on April the 25th, you're back here and we're talking about a success story.
I would hope so.
All right. Pixie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Best of luck with everything.
Hey, gang. Do you want to handle your internalized misogyny without dealing with that pesky feminism, social change, or honest introspection?
Damn right you do. So wrap your flappy mansplainers around a frosty bottle of Diet Misogyny.
That's right. Diet Misogyny. It tastes just like regular misogyny with only half the chauvinism.
With Diet Misogyny, I only slut shame women that have consensual sex before sundown.
With Diet Misogyny, I can mask my fat shaming as health concerns.
Diet Misogyny tastes just like a regular misogyny.
With Diet Misogyny, I only hate black women. That's awfully racist, isn't it?
Thanks to Diet Misogyny, I'm no longer anti-abortion. I'm just pro-restrictions.
Diet Misogyny tastes just like regular misogyny.
How do you feel?
I feel amazing. Is this how men feel?
All the time!
Even the ugly ones!
Well, whatever then. All right. William is making fun of me in between segments, y'all.
By saying that someone's going to make a Wikipedia page of you. That's actually what I said. I said because riffing about these ADOS niggas, they're getting in Talib Kweli's, what Phoenix Cleaner just told me, the ADOS niggas are getting in Talib Kweli's Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And changing the information to say that his biological father is Haitian.
Yeah.
So he's not ADOS.
Yeah.
But look at another factor of that. I don't think Talib Kweli needs reparations.
He doesn't need reparations.
He's got his check.
No. We all get the same reparations. Me, Jay-Z, and whoever the fuck is the grim sleeper who killed all the black sex workers.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
And they didn't capitalize Haiti either.
Oh, fuck.
And I'm like, that was like fucking shady.
Was it, or were they just...
Everything else was capitalized. All the other proper nouns were capitalized except Haiti.
Oh. These niggas are fucking clowns.
And why the hate towards Haiti? What the fuck did Haiti do to anybody?
Oh, Tariq Nasheed told him to. They're literally, like, I can tell which ones are Tariq Nasheed's boys.
Wasn't it last year his whole, Haiti, Ogun family? Fucking grift?
Yeah.
All right, well, fuck Haiti.
Yeah,
now,
he got that check and he's done with it now.
All right, well, fuck Haiti, I guess.
The Haitians.
The Haitians? They're hating on the Haitians?
Yeah.
Where is this from?
This is why we have a trigger warning. Oh, WYTF. Yeah, I switched it from the Free Thought Project one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, same story, though.
I figured I'd go to actual journalists.
Yeah. BJU, police officer charged with multiple sex crimes.
And who the story by? Who the story by?
Wow.
Who is the story by?
Carla Field.
All right.
And then they have a picture of this individual, Darren Thomas Wesley.
I'm telling you, and if you saw this guy, again, he's a cop, right?
Yeah.
So you automatically assume he's good if you are one of the people of modern thought. Mm-hmm. You know, you think he's good because he's a cop, but then also, right, he's a white man, not a hideous bloke.
Not hideous, right? No.
He's proportioned, eyebrows are thick, good shave, very clean. Very clean, got his goatee on. Right? Looks like a fucking a peewee football coach.
He does look like a peewee football coach.
Yeah. But then let's see who he really is.
Hashtag good cops. A Bob Jones University. There's a university called Bob Jones. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, Bob Jones University. Okay, I almost mixed that up with Liberty University. My bad.
It sounds like they would be
the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob Jones. All right.
And you know what? You should see if you can go speak there. And if the students reject you, then you can say that the right wing is not really into freedom of speech.
They're
not
into freedom of speech.
Yeah. So much for the tolerant right.
Yes. So a Bob Jones University Police Department officer has been dismissed after being accused of repeatedly sexually assaulting a mentally impaired woman over a period of 3 years. Damn. Greenville County Sheriff's Office investigators arrested Darren Thomas Wesley, 51 years old. Damn. So he's been raping people for what, like,
he's 51. 40
years? 35 years? 30 years?
Yeah, he probably started when he was 12, 13.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, right. Maybe 15.
Because as the wine cellar says, all rapists are serial rapists. All right. So investigators began an investigation March 14th after receiving a report that a vulnerable adult had been sexually victimized by Wesley, a former officer with the BJU police. Deputies say during the investigation, they determined Wesley had committed multiple criminal sexual offenses against the woman. An arrest warrant said Wesley told the woman if she resisted the sexual assaults or told anyone about them, she would destroy her family, which caused serious psychological harm to the victim. That's what they always fucking say to disabled folks and children. You can't tell your family because it's going to ruin everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one of the things, like, because, you know, when I started doing the podcast, I don't know who's tuning in. Like, that first full year cycle of podcasting. Mm-hmm. And then people that were tuning in for that first full year, they found me on Facebook. And dead up, like, my inbox was just filled, because I talked about patriarchy a lot, and it was just filled with stories casually, just like, this is how I was raped when I was a child, and at this age, and this is my story, and I like the program, and it was, like, a lot of really rough fucking stories, and, like, that, yeah, that was one of them, was, like, literally, an adult raped a child in their fucking, in their church, and told them, like, your family's gonna go to hell if you talk.
Damn.
Yeah. That's that fucking shit, man. So, you know, this society is fucking shit. Well, what's this story? Tangent.
Yes. So investigators said the incidents did not occur on the Bob Jones University campus, and they have not received information that any students or faculty have been involved. Wesley is charged with 3 counts of criminal sexual conduct, first-degree assault and battery, and abuse of a vulnerable adult. Oh, I didn't know that was a charge. That's kind of good to know. All right, so abuse of a vulnerable adult, and the neglect of a vulnerable adult. His LinkedIn, he has a LinkedIn, wow, indicates he was a campus police dispatch supervisor. Because this is the type of person we need in a supervisor role.
Just like the fucking, the cop that, that stopped me and told me that I read too much. Come to find out, he's a trainer for new officers.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And he thinks that Negroes reading too much is a thing. But then, you know, that of a vulnerable adult. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder how much precedent there is as far as, like, rulings on that and, like, how it's been used and how it's intended to be used. Because then you got to wonder, like, okay, what if there's some alt-right guy, some neo-Nazi guy, mm-hmm. but he also has, like, a mental illness, mm-hmm. and then he picks a fight with a fucker like me, and right. I just happen to kick his ass, but then I get charged with abuse of a vulnerable adult somehow. Mm,
I wouldn't be surprised.
I gotta wonder about that.
I wouldn't be surprised if yeah. that's happened, yeah. And then also, like, this story, this is a fucking college campus, goofy name aside.
Yeah.
This is a college campus, and he is a supervisor who does, campus police dispatch. So how many times do you think he didn't actually investigate a rape case on campus?
Well, why would he investigate himself? But yeah, I get what you're saying, yeah. but I'm sure he's also involved in raping quite a bit.
Oh, I'm sure he is, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. even the way he grooms his goatee, he looks like he thinks he's, like... He looks like he thinks he looks younger than he is.
Yes.
Yeah, like, he probably in his head, he's like, yeah, I passed for 27. You know? Yeah, man. And, yeah. Like, when you say goofy name aside, like, yeah, it fucking abbreviates to BJU.
Yeah.
It's a severely goofy fucking name, but it is probably a fucking horrific place to be a non-white cis hetero man.
So, like, most of the world?
Yeah, really. In line at Walgreens, down at the fucking park, by mm-hmm. the fucking, by the bird feeder, mm-hmm. by the wishing well.
Mm-hmm.
Not very good.
All right. Yeah. So, BJU Chief of Staff Randy Page released a statement Tuesday saying Darren Wesley served as a staff member at Bob Jones University. Once his actions were reported to BJU, we dismissed Wesley for breach of the university's code of conduct. We have confirmed his actions were reported to the proper law enforcement agency. Page said Wesley attended BJU and started working at the university in 2001. Oh, great. So he's had access to college students since 2001. Great. Great, great, great. Wesley is being held at the Greenville County Detention Center with bond set at $90,000.
He's been there for 18 motherfuck years. And it looks like he's about, what, like 45?
Yeah, let me scroll up and just see if it said his age. He's 51.
He's 51. Fucking, yeah, this guy. Fucking just, you know what? Folks know what I think we ought to do with him.
Rapists make great fertilizer. Also, don't you only have to pay like 10% of your bond?
Yeah.
So it's only $90,000.
Yeah, and I mean, and I wouldn't be surprised if he comes from the sort of background where that is accessible.
Right.
Yeah. Or that is accessible. I mean, shit, he probably gets paid a fairly decent check there.
Mm-hmm.
A living wage, one might call it.
A living wage. Imagine that.
Yeah, and thinking about them making great fertilizer, you have, you didn't put your seeds down yet, no?
No.
Yeah, Phoenix Leader has soil and seeds, and we turned over some old foliage that was by the porch, and well, you're going to plant some food items.
Yes, some lettuce, carrots, potatoes, onions, tomatoes, spinach, and green beans.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're just trying to make this place comfortable for ourselves to function in. You know, we're renters that act like we own it.
Yes. Bob Jones University is a private, non-denominational evangelical university in Greenville, South Carolina, known for its conservative, cultural, and religious positions.
Non-denominational?
Mm-hmm.
We know why they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bullshit. Protestant as fuck.
The college, with approximately 2,500 students, is accredited by the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools and Transnational Association of Christian Colleges.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Adorable.
Oh, their chancellor, they have a chancellor, is Bob Jones III.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who looks exactly how you would expect?
You know what, just for funsies, let's see, let's just take a little looky-poo here.
Yes.
Let's just type in, you know, in the search bar, Bob Jones University Racism.
Mm-hmm.
I like doing that with things. Like, yeah. whenever I'd see a I used to do this a lot in, like, 2014 podcasting. Mm-hmm. A story would come up about a Republican, and I would just type in their name with the word racism, and then go back. And of course, there's always several you can choose from.
Right.
And I would take one, and then I would front load the segment with that, mm-hmm. and be like, this person who's known for this thing that they did or said in 2009,
yeah.
and then do the current story. Yeah, it's like I yeah, that was, and it's just with Republicans, it's the low hanging fruit.
Strict rules govern student life at BJU. For instance, the 2015 handbook says students are to avoid any type of entertainment that could be considered immodest, contain profanity, scatological realism, sexual perversion, realism.
Scatological realism.
Yes.
Is that a punk band?
It should be.
I don't know much about punk, but I'm wondering, like, are they going on tour with Pussy Riot? Is that a thing that's happening? Scatological realism.
Yes.
They got some existential lyrics.
Sexual perversion, erotic realism, lurid violence, occultism, or false philosophical or religious assumptions. Grounds for immediate dismissal include stealing, immorality, including sexual relations between unmarried students, possession of pornography, use of alcohol or drugs, or participating in a public demonstration for a cause the university opposes.
Okay, and also, Bob Jones University, the Bible College in Greenville, South Carolina, did not admit black students until the 1970s, and then for a 30-year period, interracial dating was prohibited. Now the university has announced that its policies were wrong.
As of 2018, women were no longer required to wear skirts or dresses and may now wear pants on campus. They are also required to attend chapel 4 days a week, as well as at least 2 services at an approved local fundamental church.
Yeah.
This is how you grow a cult.
Which is, I mean, and that kind of, you know, that kind of change in the rules, like it, now the rapist has to fucking get a whole pair of pants off.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, making this guy's job harder. Right. Let's say this guy's name again. The fucking rapist cop.
Darren Thomas Wesley,
51-year-old rapist, and that's down there in where is this again?
North Carolina.
There in North Carolina, folks. Oh. Good cops in North Carolina at Bob Jones University. I think that's about a good deal there. All right. Remember, folks, paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam, patreon.com/winecellarmediafund.
Yes.
Please, motherfucker. Be as safe as possible wherever you are. And I keep forgetting to say the 2 new ones that I need to make regular is the Amazon wish list with studio items, mm-hmm. you know, XLR inputs with 3.5mm jacks, items like that can help us broadcaster whinier, celerier, phoenixier, williamier. Very good stuff. All real words.
What?
Fact-based facts.
Damn.
Come on.
Wow.
All right. And remember, and there's also a link in there, so you don't have to go find it yourself. And you can go drop a 5-star review on the iTunes.
Yes.
And I have no idea how to find the review system in Stitcher. I'm just not smart enough.
Okay.